Hello, everybody. Welcome to this next talk. We got Chin Lee, Ravi, and Mohammed from Uber, and they'll be talking to us about access control in columnar data, if I understood it correctly. So please, the stage is yours.
Yes, thank you. Hello. My name is Mohammed Islam. I work at Uber. Today we'll be talking about, as being presenter said, that the column level access control through encryption. Okay, so this is the easiest slide, and this is just bragging us who we are. I can skip it. Before starting the presentations, we want to set up the context that what we'll be talking today and what we will not talk today. Basically, we'll talk finer grain access control in Hadoop data. We'll talk about what is finer grain means. And then the second point is we'll be primarily focusing on the technology that is based on open source and some our internal source that we used in our system. And this is just to make sure that security has so many different variants, different perspective. We're not covering all of aspect of the security. I assume very tiny piece of that. And definitely that is the last line is to save me for anybody to catch me. So let's go to the little more context. Data security and privacy is any company's top priority. And why people are doing it? Because that is the right things to do for any company, because they are getting the customer information. And the important things I wrote as a third point, that is regulatory bindings. Now, different regulation is coming, like GDPR, CCPA. A lot of these things are coming very strongly, and they set up the different stage. I'm to take a pause here and just to tell you that in the Hadoop world, that security started more than 10 years back. Actually, happened to be that guy is here who actually first initiated this thing on the Kerberos security, and one of them member, key member there. And at that time, the thinking process was a little different. I was actually tangentially working with Wen, just only for Uzi type of thing. But at that time, our focus was a little different. But last couple of years, the whole focus, whole importance changed. And it is challenging our lot of conventional thinking that we used to think. Even this column level thing that you saw, that when it came to first to me a few years back, I actually threw it out immediately at Uber. And I said, man, this is not for Hadoop and other thing. But last 2 years, actually, we are now thinking differently. So this becomes a different thing. So that's actually came out our new initiatives here, and this is being done by industry in other areas like ORC and Parquet, the similar concept, similar idea, similar problem they want to solve it. But before going to that, I want to set up some idea, like what is the coarse grain access control. If you consider today as a table level things, the all are table level, that either you can access table or not. That table could have hundreds of columns, and there is only one column is important, like in this example, ID. So if you do not have access to the ID column only, you will be stopped there in the current state. And if you do not have, you are not accessing to the ID column, you don't care, you don't need it. In that case, this A and B, this is no longer important columns from the security perspective. Today we are making that both SQL failed due to the access control. And then the next alternative concept with finer grain access control that we are actually talking today. In this case, actually, what will happen, the first one, if you send that request, that will be failed, but the second one will get the data without any issue. And this is the finer grain. That means in the column level we are controlling, not into the file level that we currently have. All file level or what is called that, table level. So the question again will come. I just set up some context there, but actually why we need it. Just consider this again, the same example I was trying to tell in the previous, that just consider we have 100 columns. Out of them, only 3 columns happen to be the important columns, like C2, C15, and C34. And in this case, actually, table-level access control will allow you for everybody not to access any of these things if you do not have access for C2 or C3 or any other things, sensitive columns. So how we are controlling it, there is two approaches. One is we can do restricted access control, telling that, okay, only 5% people can access, and rest of the 95% people may not need this PII column, and we will prevent them, and the developer experience will be bad, and the productivity will go down. On the other hand, if you relax it, making it 60% people, then the security things will be compromised. And there is other approaches there. You can even create a new table or multiple tables from this one table and try to do join them. Some column has PII, some table has PII, some table does not have PII. So you can split into two. But that is also not a very good joining, and other things sometimes is not a very effective way. There is other approaches there. There is that called client level. That is, you are sending the query, and the query will be parsed and try to enforce it in that level. But on the other hand, that at the second point is actually here, all of the columns are not same importance. Like C2 might have a sensitive, very high sensitive. C15 is also higher than that, and C34 in this example is a lower sensitivity thing. So you cannot tell that you have PII access or not PII access, because in the PII level, PII also have a multiple level of things. Like somebody can access social security, but some people cannot. But he can see your name. So that level of differentiation cannot be done easily in the current infrastructures. So if you look into this, to solve this problem, we need to do some finer grain access control. The question is why? So as I told, I could just draw a picture. Maybe there are a lot of good product name is not there, but typically this is the one we have. And at this time, in which level we can put the control? One of the approach could be like Hive, Presto, Impala, Spark, Flink, MR. We can provide that access control there, but it's very, very hard, because we cannot actually implement the same logic in every place. So actually this brings out that people access to the Hadoop data in multiple ways. They have a SQL, they have non-SQL, they have direct, CLI, REST, lot of different access are there. And Hadoop does not have a concept of column by default. They are a plain text file. So that actually brings out that where the right place to enforce this enforcement. So after looking into this, all this case, we find it out that, okay, there is a file format level that is like ORC and Parquet. They have the column concept is there, and they are the lowest level. Everybody will come there to read the data. So main plan is in the storage level, we'll encrypt the data with key. And then when people will read and write to the Parquet reader or ORC reader writer, we will enforce it in that level. So that's the part actually I just already mentioned. We are doing one key per sensitivity level, like every sensitivity level or PII level have a different key, and we'll enforce that requirement in the key access management. Who can get the key? It doesn't need to be that. I will be controlling it in the KMS level. Having said that, actually, I will hand over to Shin Lee, who actually worked on it. I did not. I just did the championing and just talking. Thank you.
Thanks, Mohammed, for the introduction. In the next few slides, I'm going to briefly talk about the Parquet and the Parquet encryption. For the access control system, so Parquet encryption is just one piece. It provides the fundamental building blocks. But on top of that, there's still multiple pieces, like key management, like policy management, like crypto settings. You need a place to store it. You need to transport that settings all the way to the Poké library. So how do we do that? So our proposal is to use the schema to connect each piece into a system, and you can deliver to your end user, that end user to manage their data's access. And also, I will talk about the encryption risk. I mean, Poké encryption is a breaking changes. So there's a huge risk. How do we mitigate that risk when you roll out to your end users? And then my colleague, Pivi, will talk about the compatibility and also the performance benchmarking test result. I assume people in this room, most of the people in this room already know Poké pretty well. Just for the people who don't know it yet, so I will spend a little bit of time briefly talk about Poké itself. So Poké is a column-oriented storage file format. So the whole file is chunked into different row groups. At the end of the file, there will be a folder. The folder will provide the metadata, schema, etc., that will help you to understand the whole file. Now, for each row group, they will be divided into different columns. We call it column chunk. And each column chunk is further divided into pages. So for each pages, you can do the encoding, compression, and also encryption. So we will talk about encryption later. Now, when you write to the Poké file, so the data of a column will be put together into the column chunk. Now, when you do the encoding, compression, the size will be much smaller. So the smaller size will help the storage, help the transportation, like networking, IO, etc. So it will be very efficient. Now, when you read the Poké file, so you can choose to read only the columns that you need. We call column pruning. Also, when you read the footer, you get the column metadata. You can skip the row groups that you don't need. We call it predict pushdown. And even further, so in each pages, it also have some statistics. So you can skip some pages you don't need. So it's very, very efficient. It's used very widely in the data processing platforms like Spark, Presto, Hive. There's many, many applications it's using Poké today. So that's why we choose Poké encryption as our start. But we won't stop here. Like ORC probably will be the next one. I think Owen will talk about in the next session after this. By the way, so the Poké library is divided into two repos. One is a Poké format, which has the interface specification of the file format. And the Poké MRR repo has the implementation of the specification. Now, let's briefly talk about the Poké encryption. So recently, the Poké community is working on the Poké encryption. So we talk about the column chunk, the pages. On each pages, you can do the encryption. Now when you encrypt it, you can use the different key to encrypt the different columns. Now, when you manage the access of those key, now you are equally managing the access to those data, because if you don't have the permission to access that key, then you don't have the permission to access that data. So that's the whole point of access control through the column encryption. So Gideon from IBM is leading this effort. There are several companies contributing to this effort. Uber is a part of them. Currently, the design has passed a vote in their community, and the implementation, there's two parts, as I mentioned. In the Poké format repo, it already got merged. and then in the Poco Embraer repo is under the code review. So hopefully the specification change can be released in the Poco format 2.7 and the Poco Embraer change can be released in Poco 12. One thing to mention here is the Poco encryption also tracked by the Jira ticket 1178 is called Poco modular encryption. So modular here means so each column is considered as a module. Also the footer itself. So you can choose to encrypt a column or not to encrypt a column. So each column you can encrypt it, use a different key. That's how you can manage the access, achieve the fine-grained access control. So there's a question that should we encrypt the footer or not? So current Poco encryption support both. So first, the footer has the metadata, column name, etc. If you encrypt it, of course, you achieve the higher security. But once you encrypt it, remember, even you just access the plain text as the example that Mohammed just showed, that A, column B, right, which is plain text, is not sensitive, and you don't want to do the encryption. However, if you encrypt the footer, so you still need to get the footer first before you can access that plain text columns, right? So once you choose to encrypt that footer, meaning you have to upgrade your Poco library to the newest version, even you just access that plain text columns. Second, the encrypted footer key, you have to grant the access to everybody who is going to access any columns of it, even just plain text columns. Otherwise, they cannot access at all. So that's a trade-off. So before we look at the details of the system architecture of the column encryption access control system, so let's look at conceptually, high level, how the Poco encryption works in the flow. Suppose you have a Poco application. It could be any. It could be Spark. It could be Presto. It could be Hive, etc. So it has a writer and the reader. On the left side, I show you it's a writer. Now, suppose you have a very simple table. See, it only has two columns, C1 and C2. Now, you intentionally want to encrypt C2 only. Now, your Poco application will call the Poco library's API. Now, the Poco encryption API is modified that is adding encryption properties. So the encryption properties including several things. One is this column to be encrypted or not? If encrypted, what is the key to use to do the encryption? And what is the key metadata that is going to be read to the file when you do the decryption that is going to be used to retrieve the key to do the decryption? So all this we call the encryption properties. So Poco 1.17, I use it here, the name here is denote the Poco encryption module inside this Poco library. Now, you call this API, you pass in the data, you pass in the Poco encryption properties. Now, this module will do the encryption work for you. You can just treat it as a black box. So after that, you do the encoding, compression, encryption. So you get the data, C1 as plain data and C2 as encrypted data. Now you save it to the storage. So the storage can be any storage. It could be GCS, it could be AWS3, it could be HDFS, even could be the local disk. It doesn't matter. So you send to the storage as the encrypted version for those sensitive columns and store it. Now, when you read this file on the right side, suppose you only read these plain text columns, C1, now, you can use lower version of the Poco because you don't have access, you don't want access the encrypted columns. Suppose you are using the plain text footer version. If you want access C1 and C2, which is encrypted, now you read the file, read the footer, and get the metadata. And then you know this column is encrypted, and you get the key metadata. Use the key metadata. Now it is the caller's responsibility to figure out what is the real key by using that key metadata. So you can use a KMS. Typically, you use a KMS to get that data and do the decryption, and then you get the data. You use your data as your as before. So this is just conceptually how it works. It looks not very hard, simple, but you know, in reality, it never be like that simple. There are a few key challenges here. First, you have to rule out to the Procreate applications like query engines, like Spark, Hive, etc. So Procreate modular encryption only release as a fundamental building blocks, which modify the Procreate API by adding a Procreate encryption properties, meaning the caller, which is a query engine or Procreate application, need to get the encryption properties somewhere and then build up this encryption properties structure and pass in to the Procreate library. And then the Procreate encryption module can work. So you don't want to, you know, modify each query engine to do the same work, to do the same thing that to implement this feature, because there are so many Procreate applications. And second, so you need a place to store these crypto settings. Crypto setting, I mean, like each column you want to encrypt or not, and what kind of key to be used for that encryption, or what is the encryption algorithm, and do you want to encrypt the footer? So all this stuff I call the crypto settings, right? You have, you know, as an organization, you may have like thousands of tables, even millions of tables, and each table has many, many columns. So each column has its own crypto settings. There's quite a huge amount of settings. So you need a central place to store it somewhere, and also you need to propagate to all the way to the Procreate libraries through the technical stack. So that's quite challenging. So you may think the HMS is the right place to store those crypto settings. But if you look, you know, at the overall picture of the data, so the data stored in the Hadoop data lake most likely is coming from the upstream, from the transactional database, right? So when the data in the Hadoop is transporting out of the Hadoop, like to the data warehouse, etc. So if you look at the overall picture, the data actually is flowing around. So just the metadata HMS itself may not be sufficient. And third, you have to deliver this feature as an end-to-end solution, let your end user to use it. Just calling the raw API is not sufficient. So the key question here is how easy that your end user can use your system. Let's say they have the data with you. The easy way to do is I want tag that column as sensitive. Now I'm done. From the security perspective, you guys do all the work automatically for me. And even better, like today, we have machine learning, we have artificial intelligence, right? Maybe someday they can figure out this sensitivity automatically. Then the end user just pushing the data in, don't worry about anything, and the system just take care of everything, do the right thing, do the encryption, it is sensitive. Then the user is fully free of this security stuff. It's invisible, totally transparent. Lastly, the scale. So introducing the feature cannot introduce any bottleneck. So the bottleneck, not just from the encryption itself. So the encryption will take some overhead, will slow down a little bit. But other than that, the KMS is another one. You send the request to get the key, retrieve the key, all in the times, right? KMS cannot be the bottleneck. Also the crypto settings I just talked about. Those crypto settings, you store it somewhere. If you store it in the central place, then whenever your job is kicked off, like Spark jobs, then all the nodes actually working on the same thing are sending the request at the same time. Then you may get DOS of your central storage, right? You don't want that to happen. So that's, you know, this is quite challenging when you think about the real system using the Procreate encryption. Now, the Poco community is thinking of the different solutions. It's borrowing the different options. Like Gating is working on the set of tools, how to easily retrieve those keys. Also, people discussing how a user Hadoop configuration to propagate those crypto settings to the Poco library, etc. So our proposal here is let's use schema to control everything. So I will explain how it works. So first of all, if you look at the data overall as an organization, so the Hadoop data lake is just one piece of it. Now, if you upstream the transactional data, they have something, probably already have some annotations, some sensitivity checks, sensitivity settings somewhere already. Now, why not we utilize those settings which is already there? The data that are flowing around into the Hadoop service and also flying out of the Hadoop services. Now, this schema also flowing around. Now, let's extend those schema having that crypto settings. And then you don't need to do the actual API calls, actual interface, et cetera. So then solve the problem like scalability, et cetera, right? So, another question here is once this schema actually flowing around, you need to take care of them, make sure that you don't trunk those crypto settings. That's easy, which is most of the service like Spark, et cetera, they don't do it. So we already test that. Now, in the Poco library, now you can have the plugin module which consume those crypto settings and build up these encryption properties automatically. And then you are free of have a central story to do everything. Now, schema lineage is another story. In the Hadoop, let's say you do the data transformation. You create a table based on the old table. The old table have the schema with the crypto settings. Of course, the new table should have that crypto settings, do the encryption things. But that should happen at the right time automatically. So we will talk about the schema lineage in the slides in a few minutes. So let's look at the system architecture in the high level. There are two major phases of this architecture. One is offline provisioning. The other one is online reading and writing. First, you have the end user have the data with you in the data lake or somewhere. And then they tag their data as sensitive or sensitivity somewhere. And then the sensitivity will go along with the schema. Eventually, we'll get the schema store. And then you have that information. Meanwhile, the end user should be able to manage the policies that who can access my column data for which columns. Now, once they have that, their access policy management should be able to create the key in the KMS. Now, the offline provisioning phase is done. Now, on the right side, for the online writing and the reading. So the application, the Poco application, which in this case could be Spark, Presto, et cetera, so that will need to read the schema store, which is already the existing path, is not introduced by this feature. So that reads this schema with extension of those crypto settings and pass all the way to the Poco library. Here in the Poco library, I use Poco 1396, which is a Jira ticket I open, but I denote the module that, a plugin module that we want to release, which is going to consume all those crypto settings and going to build up all those encryption settings, pass it all the way to the underlying module, which is modular encryption module. So inside this Poco library, and then they do all the work for you. So if you look this picture as a whole, so we don't use, we don't introduce any new RPC calls, et cetera, except for the KMS. KMS is another story because you have to contact the KMS, get the key to do the encryption, decryption, et cetera. But other than that, it should be like no actual calls. So let's zoom in a little bit on the right side. We have the technical stack, how this schema with the crypto settings can get through the technical stack. For instance, we use the Spark as an example here. So once the schema gets your application with some settings here, I use encryption true, which is the key value as a property. Now, so that will pass to the Spark, which is part of that schema, maybe using Avro schema, etc. If you are familiar with Poque, you probably already know every Poque application, you have to provide the Poque write support, which is not introduced by Poque encryption, which is already there for any Poque applications. For instance, you use Avro Poque write support. What it does is it will convert those schema into the Poque schema. So what we do is we extend that write support to append the crypto settings that we get from the schema and convert it to the key value properties of the Poque schema. Now, inside the Poque, that we have a crypto retriever, which essentially I denoted in the last slide, called 1396 Poque. So the retriever here will consume those Poque schema of the crypto settings and get the key, contacting the KMS. Of course, it integrates the KMS client, get the key, do the encryption. So you can see the crypto settings inside this schema, just like a tunnel, going through the applications, Spark, etc., eventually arrive to the Poque library and ended with the crypto retriever, which is that we are going to release as a plugin module. So there are a few deployment options of the Poque column encryption when you use it for the column level access control. First of all, we already discussed the footer encryption. If you encrypt the footer, so meaning you have to grant the permission to everybody who is going to access any column, even if it is a plain text column of this file. Also, it will force you that you need the newer version of the Poque with the encryption code to read it, because the old version of the Poque has no ability to decrypt that folders. So that is the trade-off between the complexity and the security itself. And second, the encryption algorithm. So Poque encryption support two algorithms so far. One is AES-GCM. The other one is AES-CTR. So AES-GCM is having the integrity check in addition to the encryption itself. What it does is it will do a hash of your data and then assign the hash using the key and get an integrity tag. Now, when you read it, you get the data and you do the same thing, hash, and you validate if the tag is changed it or not of the data. So it is more secure, definitely, but it requires more time, more overhead. So CTR doesn't have that, but it's faster than GCM. Lastly, the encryption with authentication with some called AAD, additional authenticated data. If you choose use AES-GCM, you also have an option that before you're doing the hash, you can providing more extra data along with your file data, and you can do a hash on it. Now, when you do the decryption, so you have to provide that data along with the raw data, and that will do the validation checks. It will be more secure, but definitely it will add some complexity into it. So it's a trade-off between the security and the complexity. So let's talk about the risk and the mitigation mechanism. So as I said, the encryption definitely is a breaking features because something wrong or they don't have the key to access HR, you cannot get the data, right? What you don't want happen is once your encryption happens, immediately all the jobs stop working. Now, financial team, they cannot generate the financial report. The machine learning team, they cannot train their models. Then you are put unfair. Your on-call probably will be very, very busy. So there are some risk mitigations that you know we can consider. Of course, before you roll out to the production, you need to do enough testing, functional testing, benchmarking, backward compatibility, etc. Test it locally, test the staging. But other than that, a few options here. One, always start with the plain text food first. As I said, the plain text food will be less complexable, complicated, and also it will be easy for the lower version of the Poke to read. After you know you gain the confidence that you can move on to the encrypted food mode. And second, shadow mode. Shadow mode here, I mean, when you generate a table data, you have the plain text version of the data and also the encrypted version of the data at the same time in parallel. Now, all your old jobs, pipelines, still using the plain text version. Then you opt in each job one by one that to the encrypted version. And someday you gain the confidence that, hey, all the bugs is solved. We are pretty confident that we can switch. And then you can switch to the encrypted version for all of these jobs. But meanwhile, you may want to keep the plain text version of the data for a while. If something up, you can roll back. So I will talk about a little bit about the schema lineage of the transform tables. What I mean here is, let's say you have the raw data, you have the meta store that with some schema saying, hey, there's column need to be encrypted. Now, your job created this encrypted analytics tables with some column encrypted. Now, question here is, if you do some transformation, like create table, lag table, like create table, add select, etc. Now, the new table most likely will have the same type of data. Of course, they need to be encrypted. But you have to have the right crypto settings for that table at the right time. The reason for that is if you run the create table as select, the data already insert into the new table at the time the job finish. Now, if you tag that table as sensitive later on, you have to do the backfill, right? So I created a help ticket for this, so that we can make some changes to the SQL, like help, etc. That when you transform the tables, you can have this crypto settings at the time you do the transformation. Another scenario is insert into tables. If you have two tables, like a new table and old table, you insert the data to the new table from the old table data, but you may find some discrepancy of the crypto settings of these two tables. A column is identified as sensitive, but not as sensitive in the new table. Something wrong. So we should stop working and report the failure, which is a security hole. So let's talk about the key MS. So Poke Modular Encryption itself is released as an API, which is not bounded to any specific KMS. So you can use any KMS according to your business needs. But there are a few requirements of choosing this KMS, like security. The KMS itself has to provide security. Otherwise, if the key gets breached, then your data will get breached. Durability. Your KMS needs to be durable because once you lose the key, then all the data is useless, meaning data loss. Availability. You can't have the single point of failure of your KMS. Otherwise, the whole system will be a single point of failure. Scalability. You have to be scaled. The good news is the way that we're using KMS for the access control is the offline stage is writing the key. All the online reading and writing is just read the key. So that will free the KMS to horizontally scale out. You can even adding the catch in the HTTP endpoints of those KMS. Bursting traffic handling. By the nature of the parallel execution of those jobs, the KMS definitely will get a bursty traffic. Performance. So maybe we'll talk about performance. Auditability. So we want to know who accessed what key at what time. And key rollover. It's not recommended that one key is excessively used to encrypt so many data. You have to roll over your key periodically. There are a few options. I mean, there's actually multiple options. You can choose a KMS. Hadoop KMS, Ranger KMS, Cloudera KMS. Some of them is free, is open source. Some of it is not. Cloud KMS, etc. So I will hand over to PV.
Test. Okay. So I'm going to talk about some early performance benchmarks that we're seeing in Spark. So we wanted to know what kind of overhead that we're seeing in column encryption compared to the status quo of plain text. So we kind of broke this down to kind of several categories, and we kind of wanted to see like how much time we're spending on each part, how much of the overhead we're spending on each stage of column encryption. So first of all, we looked into the end-to-end. So this is just reading and then writing Parquet files with column encryption enabled. And we're seeing around 54% overhead when all columns are encrypted. But this overhead does decrease like considerably as you go from 100% of the columns encrypted down to like 50 and 10% of the columns encrypted. And also I want to note that we're actually expecting for our Uber use case that a lot of our use cases are going to fall within this 10 to 50% columns encrypted range. And then further, we kind of broke this end-to-end benchmark down to both the read and the write benchmarks. So on the write side, we're seeing around 43% overhead for all columns encrypted, and this again falls as you go down to 50% and 10% of your columns encrypted. And on the read side, we're actually seeing an 80% overhead for all columns encrypted. And this isn't ideal, but there are some trade-offs we can make to kind of balance. I think we'll take questions at the end. Yeah. So there are some trade-offs we can make in terms of our encryption algorithm to kind of deal with this. So that I'll talk about that on the next slide. So the encryption algorithm, so we always use AES, but we do have a choice between using AES in GCM mode and GCM CTR mode. What exactly is the difference? So GCM, as Shin-Li mentioned before, was basically we get the confidentiality of AES, but then we also have additional integrity checks that GCM provides. But GCM CTR mode allows us to basically speed up the column encryption by using GCM for most of the modules of the Parquet file, except for the pages. And for the pages, we use CTR, so there's no authentication there, but it allows us to read and write more quickly. Instead of authenticating every page, we're only authenticating the metadata. And by using this GCM CTR mode, we see quite an improvement in the read, write, and end-to-end overhead. So as you can see, that 80% actually falls down to around 56%. So on top of that, we kind of wanted to break down the overhead and see how much time in the overhead we're actually spending on making calls to the Ranger KMS over the network. So in order to kind of break this down, we used an in-memory KMS to isolate the actual time we're spending going over the network versus the time we're actually spending doing the actual encryption and decryption. And what we found is that actually most of the overhead is actually spent on encrypting and decrypting. As you can see in the chart on the right, the amount of time spent by both the Ranger KMS and in-memory KMS are pretty similar compared to the no encryption case. All right, so to change gears a bit, something that we really care about is backwards compatibility, and particularly we cared about bidirectional compatibility. So we achieved this because all the fields we introduced by this column encryption feature, they're all optional. So this means that any data that we write in non-encryption mode can be read by a lower version of Parquet. And even if we encrypt columns, any of the columns we don't encrypt in plain text can be still read by lower versions of Parquet, assuming that we use the plain text footer. If we use the encrypted footer, then this doesn't work, but we're actually currently using the plain text footer as we roll out. Also, on the other side of the bidirectional compatibility, any data that is being written by lower Parquet versions also can be read by this new Parquet version with the column encryption feature. And so this bidirectional compatibility is really important because it allows us to like safely and incrementally roll out Parquet column encryption because basically at Uber we have like a large array of Parquet clients, and this bidirectional compatibility allows us to incrementally roll out. So Shinli is just going to go over a summary and then we'll take questions.
Yeah, so I will be very quick. So I think Mohammed did a good job talk about the toward fine-grained access control, and then I talk about the Parquet encryption, the high level, and the challenges we are facing, and we propose use a schema to do all the integrity work and the mitigation of the risk, key management system, and then Pavi talk about the benchmarking, backward compatibility. I think now we are taking questions. Can you repeat the second point? Oh, okay. So for the first question, the key rollover. I won't talk about any like specific for Uber, but generally the key rollover should be having like something like the weekly basis. Or daily basis, which is the interval like people should look into. When they do the key rollover, their key name, the permissions on those key won't be changed, but the key material version will be advanced. For the second question, that how long the client keep the key, I believe it is a session of the job ended, the key will be wiped out. I believe Gideon has recent changes, which is wiped out the key after the usage.
I got it. Yeah, it's not a column level. Now you're asking that row level access control. Exactly. Yeah, those are very hard problems, just to tell you. Only we are working on row level, some part of your thing, based on the partition. If you do any level of partition, that we do time-based. That is another GDPR requirement, like after 13 months, you need to have a very restricted access. So I think that is specific to the user level things. Currently, it is not there. And only way you can control it by a user level key, like every user has a key, and make an access control on that keys. But the number of users is huge. Managing them is very challenging. So in short, we do not have a very good answer. It's a hard problem, as you already, part of the question actually also you mentioned, yes. Is there anything in that one? I think, yeah, that's the approach for that user is maintaining their own key, right? So, but the question is actually like our back-end people want to do some analysis. or data science people want to do some access to their data to do something. So that actually becomes very hard for them. Exactly. So that's where actually anonymization come to the picture. Sometimes people create an unique anonymization for every user, so you can do at least do distinct count, lot of different analytics to find out that. So you need to do one level of translation. You will not give you John. I'll give you unique ID that cannot be traced back to John. Something like that can be done. Yeah, this is a very hard problem, and in analytics world, we are struggling on that. I think, yeah, I agree. I think that is the right approach for your use case. Yeah.
More questions? No? Then I think we are done. We are also at the right time. Thank you.